welcome back, and we're now going to cover the seven things that Yah says are abomination. And I thought what we might do, Larry, is let you read number one, and you can also read the whole paragraph, and then we'll talk about it. I've got a few notes on a couple of the words here and there, so we'll see where the words take us. So why don't you begin with holy eyes? And
no, I will, but I do want to go back to what you said about, and you will be seven. Obviously, he is talking about the seventh dimension. He's not talking about you're going to become the number seven. I mean, would that be?
That would make sense, would it?
Right. So, I mean, you're either talking about dimensions here, and you're being amplified, because he's talking about something good happening to you here. It's not something bad. So, amplified by seven, it sounds like dimensions to me.
Yeah, and it's not a philosophical statement. You know, the ancient Hebrew is very concrete. They're not into the Greek ideal of philosophical everything. It is what it is. It's what it is. They're very down-to-earth people, talking very down-to-earth, where everything is described very down-to-earth. If I say something in a particular way, and if they state something in a particular way, you don't have to go looking for what is that. What is the deeper, you know,
it says what it says.
That's what it means, and then you can extrapolate from that. But it's, of course, but it's
you know
it's
what
not,
passage that is with where the Torah address is for that.
What's that?
The Torah address for the passage you're talking about, where he says we will become seven.
Oh, that's from that was the last passage. Let me see here.
Really?
Where it says. I think I put them down on the floor now, so you've caught me in the middle of my...
No, you're okay. Yeah, said Bob.
I'll get it back to you tonight, later. I'll look that up on the thing and tell you exactly which word it was. So.
Okay, behold presently these six things Yahweh hates. And
oh, I'm sorry, it's right here. It's right here in the seven. That's the word Sheba.
Yeah, that's Sheba right there. And seven are an abomination to his soul. Now, these are negative things here.
Yes.
Haughty eyes and visions of grandeur, observations including a rebellious perspective. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay, that means that your perspective is in opposition to Yahweh. Something I find on FB with religious people 100% of the time.
Which also Halal ben Shakar.
Right.
Pretty great example.
Character.
Yeah. A deceptive tongue, that's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number three, and hands that shed innocent blood. This is a bad thing. You know, I look at a lot of these whodunits, and at the end of them, if they're religious folks, usually you get this nonsense where I've been told I have to forgive them, you know, for raping and murdering my 5-year-old boy. So I'm going to do that. Okay. Well, that's not Torah. Last I checked, Cain was kicked out of the family when he murdered Abel. That's what happened to him. He wasn't forgiven. He's not going to be forgiven. He was kicked out. A heart which devises and writes. So he makes something up, then he writes about it. Troublesome, idolatrous, unjust, false, and evil plans.
Well, what could be more idolatrous than a sun god worship, which is what Christianity has become?
Yeah, since Halal ben Shakar means the arrogant son of the morning rising sun, and since Baal, alias Ha-Satan, named Halal ben Shakar, always hid in sun guises, in religious guises, either as the moon or the sun or the stars, I think that's getting right to the heart of the matter. I do. Five, feet which rashly and impetuously run to and fro, darting about to approach that which is evil.
Well, you know, if your lust is getting to you, then you have to run around to the next town and pick up the next sucker. Isn't that what a lot of preachers do?
Yeah. It's you approach that which is evil. Don't they run to churches?
Keep going. Yeah.
Or the next religious holiday festival.
Mm-hmm.
A maligning soul whose breath utters sedition, breathing out slanderous and deceptive testimony, which incites the deluded to worship false gods. heaven, and then one who claims to be sent out as a messenger to do away with something important, creating controversy and contentious strife between brothers.
Yeah. Now, there's the key word. That was the one I was referring to earlier about the brothers. I mean, that's so helpful in identifying or putting the exclamation mark on this is Paul. This is Shaul. Because the others weren't worried about changing, you know, attacking the brothers or changing their way the way Paul was. He went right into the disciples and took them on. He lost, but didn't seem to slow him down much. He just took his message somewhere else. But if this ain't Paul, as they say in the South, then grits ain't groceries.
Yeah, right. I mean, let's see, he did everything absolutely wrong. He's got people today quoting, you know, the gratia or the grace. That's what it means. Gratia. Those are the pagan deities of charm, blender, splendor, and beauty. They're naked statues adorn the walls of Pompeii and also the Acropolis. Their naked statues are out in front of the Acropolis. So when somebody tells you that they're saved by grace, they're damning themselves, which simply means separating themselves from Yahweh with their own tongue, because they've been taught to by somebody who lied to them.
Well, let's look at 1 through 7 and see how much Paul is in each one of them, and I think we'll come to the same conclusion that we just stated. But the haughty eyes and the visions of grandeur. That's not like any prophet I've ever read. I mean, if anything, I'm not, you know, most of the time they would say, I'm not worthy of this. I don't have that skill set. I don't have the ability, the great voice to, as Moses said, to do this, to be announcing this. I don't have, I'm too young, one of the prophets said. I forget. But in any case, it's probably Jeremiah. Hardy eyes and so forth. So, but this is a guy who sees himself as grand. He sees himself, because remember, we're still talking about that same one guy that's going to rush in and do this. Hardy eyes, visions of grandeur, observations including a rebellious perspective. You can't get much more rebellious than Paul was. He absolutely turned everything upside down.
I want to do this just so people can compare.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to look at how Zechariah opens up in Zechariah 1:1. I know he's a minor prophet, supposedly, but he got murdered for what he wrote here. So this is probably or what he shared, what he took in dictation. It was the 8th month in the 2nd year of King Darius when the word of Yahweh came to exist with Zechariah, the Nabi, that's prophet. There you go. That's how much talking about himself Zechariah just did.
So would you describe that as arrogant and egotistical?
No, I would describe that as somebody who's actually pinning a letter for Yahweh as opposed to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's and I'm looking down here for Malachi. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to give you that too.
Sure.
Simply because, you know, this is how it's really done. If you're a Nabi and you're writing on behalf of Yahweh.
Yes.
Let's see. Here we go. Now, this is what Malachi, messenger, has to say. The prophetic pronouncement of the word of Yahweh to Yisrael in the hand of Malachi with love to you all, Yahweh, says Yahweh. That's it. Nothing like I'm the greatest guy that ever lived. I know more than you do inside and out. Let me tell you what I say. None of this nonsense.
Oh, but I say.
Yeah, or but I say, or I ego does not.
That's it, but I say. Oh, okay, pal.
You know, so I want to point that out. It's very important because, you know, we're talking about a very stark contrast here. It's stark. You know, you look at the letters of a man who talks about himself, his importance, what he knows, how he's forgotten more than you know, and on and on and on and on and on and on it goes. And then you look at people who speak for Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're more like Moshe, who says what? What does Moses have to say? He says, you know, can you pick somebody else? Because my tongue is thick and I don't speak very well. Matter of fact, okay, if you're going to pick me, is it okay if Aaron does the speaking?
Yeah.
My brother over here, because he can talk better than I can.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's hardly the giant attitude, egotistical attitude.
Well, that's three of them then we just put up. Moses, we put up Zachariah, and we put up Malachi. And if that isn't enough to get you to know where these guys
are, look the other stuff, you find the same thing.
You're stupid.
That's the one thing that was really impressive about reading Yada Yah when Yada is talking about himself, and he says, you know, and I thought, you know, I kept trying to build him up. You know, he kept saying, you know, I'm not important. This is what the word is here. Here's the translation. This is the only conclusion you can draw based on this and the grammar and the this and the this and this. And I'm going, man, you're sharp. But it ain't going to come out of his mouth.
Right, and you know what, from my perspective and your perspective, probably Scott's perspective, you know.
One sharp dude.
Craig is pretty sharp.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to accuse him of being stupid, at least, you know. But he just doesn't like to hear it, and that's
well, I don't think his attitude would have let it be any other way. I mean, he understands what he's doing, and he is not like none of us are. A conduit for Yah to speak through us. We're simply looking up what has already been said, already been declared by the prophets and the Psalms.
Sharing words.
And we're just sharing it. And unfortunately, we have to go through a lot of hoops because we are predominantly speaking English. And it was written in Hebrew, and it was even written in older Hebrew before
right.
They changed
and,
so many things.
You know, sadly, the people that speak Hebrew today don't get this. You understand, I'm thankful.
Yeah.
For this, because I would have took, you know, Torah as being a law.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's how they look at it. And yet, Yahweh said that the Torah is what freed him, laws don't free you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no.
And then we understand Shamar is not obey, it's observe. We're observing the Torah right now. I'm not obeying anything. I'm just observing it.
And what did he ask? He asked us to Shamar Torah. He said, study what I've got to say, come to know it, and then you can respond to it. That's the deal. It's not a bigger deal than that. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, does he expect you to have a pure heart?
No, he knows me better than that.
Yeah, I would think so. He knows me better than that. I know that. So, you know, he's not asking us to be worthy or make a sacrifice. What
happens? Bow down. Praise me every day.
Or
you can't
praise
find
him.
It anywhere, guys. You can't find it.
Right. So, it's just not there. And so once you begin to shamar Torah, you begin understanding what? The nature of Yahweh.
You're right.
And it turns out he's just
what
honest.
What kind of relationship he wants.
Yeah, and that's just what kind of relationship he wants. You know, I'm sure there'll be a different relationship with Kirk than there will be with Larry and there will be with Scott. I mean, the reason I say that is I've got four kids. I love them, but I have a different relationship with all of them.
Well, they're different characters.
Right. I mean, we're going to have a different relationship with anybody. Nobody's relationship's identical. I mean, it just can't work like that. But there is only one way to get there, and that's he says that he's wanting to meet the people who what? Want to meet him.
Right.
I mean, you actually have to want to meet him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the creator of the universe. Of course I want to meet him.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're ever looking at Yahweh through the perspective of religion, boy, I would think you'd be scared as hell to meet him. I would think. I wouldn't
well,
want to
it,
meet a religion.
It's, that's not far removed from my old concepts. You know, it's like trembling in fear.
Yeah,
because
right.
This is the God of the universe, and, you know, I've made a lot of errors, therefore. You know,
you
just ain't that way.
Yeah. They even take a passage from Dode in the 119th, where he's talking about my skin gets goosebumps out of excitement thinking about you, and they've got him fearing and trembling in fear.
Yeah.
You're going, what? Why did you do that to people?
Well, that's
what this show is about. We're observing the reality here instead of holding up some goddamn religious deity that none of us could stand anyway if we were
now, Larry,
real.
Now, Larry, that concept, of course, that concept comes from number two, which is a deceptive tongue.
Yep.
And we might note, too, that Paul, the one we're talking about, Shaul, he contradicted everything that Yahusha said. You cannot have Christianity without Paul. You could have Mithraism. You could still have sun god worship as ancient. However, you could not have Christianity without this deceptive twisting of these false and misleading statements.
It cannot happen because
if you read Yahusha, the one that they all called Jesus mistakenly, and then say this is what the Lord said, which is no Lord, that's Baal, then all of those concepts that you were just talking about all stem from them twisting Yahweh's words and Yahusha's words as well. So how could you be more of a deceptive tongue than contradict Yahusha, who quoted nothing but the Torah, on every statement?
No. I mean, you want to go to here's a beautiful example. Here's a beautiful example. I committed a sin in humbling myself because I preached the gospel of God. It's not a gospel; it's a Torah that we're supposed to be learning. Gospel of God to you without charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages to serve you. This is Paul bitching about how he didn't get paid. Now you want to know what God says, better known as Yahweh. This is in Yasha Yahu. Better known as Isaiah today, without money or cost, listen carefully to me, incline your ear, and come to me, listen so that you may live, so that I will be able to establish an everlasting covenant relationship with you. He clearly says, without money or cost.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and if you recall, Yahusha, when he sent the disciples out to talk among the brothers, he told them they don't carry a begging bag. We ain't in the priest business.
Now here's another one. I like this. Try this one out.
Okay.
And do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father, and he is in heaven. Now this is Yahusha talking. This is Matthew 23:9. Now let's go to Corinthians. I became your father through Jesus Christos, through the gospel. I encourage you then to be imitators of me. Say what? I became your father? What?
You're quoting Paul, yes.
Yes, I'm quoting Paul in Corinthians. Then we got this lovely one. They have set up rulers and kings, but not by me. They have appointed governors and put leaders in positions of authority, whom I do not know. Now that's in Hosea, better known as Hosea 8:4, Romans 13:1. Let everybody
remind everybody who the first king that they set up, of the Hebrews set up. And, of course, it was Shaul.
Yeah, and he was in opposition, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Opposition to Dode.
Yep, and opposition to Yahweh.
And, therefore, opposition to Yahweh, exactly.
Yeah.
If he'd had his way, there would have been a fair few psalms because he would have killed him.
And then what does Paul say over here in Romans 13:10 or 13:1? Let every being be in subjection to the government authorities, for there is no authority except from Elohim. The authorities that exist are appointed by Elohim. Oh boy, thank you, Paulos. You know.
Yeah, well, it took me a while to find the book, my old copy of Josephus. It's about 185 years old, so it's a very old book written in very small print. I was trying to dig up those numbers for you that we talked about last week, and unfortunately, I haven't gotten to any big numbers yet. However, as I'm reading it about the government called Rome that he endorsed 20 years after the endorsement by Paul, it's horrible, the wars they're having with the Jews and what they are, the Yehudim, now called Jews. But the destruction is, and the approach they have, and is awful. And this is what we're supposed to thank God sent and approved of? Give me a break.
No, I don't think that at all, because God says something completely opposite, obviously. And I guess this is what idiots that can't let go of religion think. And then you've got the new people that what they do, and this is an important aspect of the hustle. What they do is they take a book that basically copies really the Textus Receptus is what they copy. So it's a 1515 translation. And then what they do is they write it back into Aramaic and they go, here's the original. It's in Aramaic. Mm-hmm. And then they change Paul's words and he's being misunderstood. Mm-hmm. They rewrite it.
Well, then, you know,
it's
goes
off
on
the Textus
say,
Receptus because it has the same mistakes that the Textus Receptus has.
Well, it was a fraudulent thing to begin with, and it's been, if you Google that and really study a little bit, you find what a stupid thing that is. They just did it for money, and whatever the priest wanted, that's what they wrote in there. You know, I'll interpret it whichever way, I'll translate it whichever way you want it to come out, you know, and save your passages even if they're not in the old Greek or the old Hebrew. So it was a major, major fraud, which, you know, this went back to deceptive tongues. Then, of course,
it goes on to number three.
He shed innocent blood, and we were just talking about that.
The stoning of Stephen, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but you think about it. When you're endorsing Rome, and Rome eventually wipes out Jerusalem, and then a few years later, in 133, after the 70 ADs, that's what, 53 years later, they absolutely destroy all of Israel, all of the that area, and take everyone into captive that they don't kill.
They crucified about 250,000 Yehudim right there.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm sure we're going to find this hundreds of thousand into captivity, and probably, I don't know, it could be a million or two that were actually crucified or just killed in the wars themselves. But all of that bloodshed also gets to be laid on these guys that twist, and also Maimonides too, and not Maimonides, but Akiba, you know, who started this war. And then we've got, as you read earlier, a heart which devises and writes troublesome, idolatrous, unjust, false, and evil plans. And, of course, that is the gospel according to Paul. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, sure. It's God's spell of gratia, the gospel of grace.
Amazing.
The God who casts spells. That's what gospel means.
Yeah, you cannot have anything that's more unreliable than what, and that's a one, that's the translation, more unreliable than what Paul wrote. So if you're betting on that horse, you will certainly be diminished. You'll die, or you will. And if you're peddling it, then you get to be in show with Hasatan. Then once again, as we're putting all the nails in this coffin called Paul, the feet, which rashly and impetuously run to and fro, darting back and forth to approach which is evil. You know, he ran back and forth as we talked earlier. And that's obviously the reference for Paul. No one really fits that description like Paul does. Most of them that traveled very far were Romans and stuff, and they weren't the ones who were twisting the Torah to begin with. So, and with that, and then where are we now? Up to number six, a maligning soul which breathes, utters sedition, breathing and out slanderous and deceptive testimony, which incites and deludes to worshiping of false gods. False gods, well, the false witness. Well, the false witness obviously is Paul, and who brought everybody back to Mithraism? Who brought everybody back to the sun worship? Who got the gospel of grace? I don't think there's a pagan Roman or a pagan Babylonian god that he didn't like.
No, it's loaded, you know, whether he's talking about faith.
Yeah.
Faith is from Fides, and we know that the real word used was knowledge, knowing, yada, knowing in a relational sense, really.
Yeah. So
and they changed that
life,
to,
right. If you know something.
Changed, yep. And they changed that to faith. Faith is Fides. That's the Roman goddess of loyalty, actually. Mm-hmm. That's where faith is.
Now, y'all, as you recall, he said there were six things he hated. And seven that are six things that are abomination, and one thing, and plus seven that he hated. Here's the big killer. I mean, God hates this. I mean, it's all over the Torah. And then, one who claims to be sent out as a messenger to do away with something important, obviously his Torah, creating controversy and contentious strife between the brothers. If Muhammad wants to do his thing in Arabia, that's too bad. If so-and-so over here wants to do something there, but one who claims to be a messenger of Yahweh in Israel, causing strife among the brothers and having them fall by his twisted message, Yahweh hates that. I mean, this is non-forgiving stuff here. And if you look over what we've covered, you know, if you're looking to say who is this person he's talking about, is how can it be anyone else? Maybe you can surmise what we've covered so far a little bit.
Well, I mean, basically what we're talking about here is somebody that sees, he cloaks himself in grandeur. His perspective is in opposition. He lies, which we went over how he lies. You know, I've become all things to all men. You're really taking the edge off things. His hands shed innocent blood, and his hands that shed innocent blood, you know, what he passed on didn't just get billions of people killed, but he literally was involved in the murder of Yehudim.
Oh, yeah.
You know, personally, his hands.
He literally was a hitman for the rebels.
Yeah.
You know?
And a heart which devises and writes idolaters, unjust evil plans. Yeah, he put all his stuff on letters. He wrote it literally. Going back to and fro, he was the guy doing all the traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And a maligning soul that is slanderous and deceptive and so forth and leads to the worship of false gods. Well, when somebody remember he even said what day you do it doesn't even matter. Remember Shabbat? He didn't care which day Shabbat was. Seven. In other words, the Yovel and Yahweh's timing and what he said was to go on into perpetuity for all times. His seventh day of rest, his Shabbat, his promise and solemn oath. He's not a politician, so he doesn't break his words. So somebody's out there telling you he's going to break his words, and they're the liar. He's not. I mean, clearly. So there again, it led to Sunday worship of a Lord in front of the Satan's oldest symbol in the world, which is the cross, right? So we know
that that's anything about Christianity, and you deal with Christians all the time. I used to be one. I mean, that's almost a rhetorical question, but is it anything you can find in Christianity that is not tied to worshiping false gods?
No, holy is a consort to Krishna. Bible is Babel is with Bel, but it's also named after the sun goddess Byblos, you know. And then you've got holy. Let's see, you've got Hesus, which was the Druid savior, right? Where the horn was God. Then you got Church, who was really the daughter of Helios, the sun god. Then you've got your Ishtar festival, which mm-hmm. is Easter, which
Astarte,
was
right?
on the vernal equinox, the Sunday nearest the vernal equinox. And then 9 months later, the son was born.
25th of December, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so now it's all sun worship, essentially. I mean, it's sun worship right down to the name Hesus. And I know that Yad always ties it to Christos, but, you know, in their encyclopedia, they say, you know, it's tied to Krishna, and that's San Christ in the classical Latin. Yeah. San Christ is Krishna. And, you know, to this day, the Eastern Arches in a Catholic church are called the San Christ. And so that's, you know, the Eastern sun god, Krishna.
It's still a false witness, anyway you could.
One's drugged and stupid, and the other one's literally
a goddess,
the Eastern sun god. And I believe it's the Eastern sun god. That's one of the few disagreements he and I would have, but that's either way, it's bad news. You know?
I think y'all can agree to disagree on those. Yahweh just doesn't play games with it. This is, to him, this is as serious as you can get. Anyway, we look forward to next week when Yada will be back, and we certainly enjoyed y'all putting up with us. So thank you, Larry. Thank you, Scott. And we'll see you next week.